वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 8 एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णा शोज द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म टेक्स्ट 7। श्री गर्ग उवाच यदुनामहम आचार्या ख्यातश्च भुवि सर्वदा सुतं मया संस्कृतं ते मन्यते देवकी सुतं। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Garga Muni said, "My dear Nanda Maharaj, I am the priestly guide of the Yadu dynasty. This is known everywhere. Therefore, if I perform the purificatory process for your sons, Kams will consider them the sons of Devaki." Purport. Garga Muni indirectly disclosed that Krishna was the son of Devaki and not of Yashoda. Since Kams was already searching for Krishna, if the purificatory processes were undertaken by Garga Muni, Kams might be informed, and that would create a catastrophe. It may be argued that although Garga Muni was the priest of Yadu dynasty, Nanda Maharaj also belonged to that dynasty. Nanda Maharaj, however, was not acting as a Kshatriya. Therefore, Garga Muni said, "If I act as your priest, this will confirm that Krishna is the son of Devaki." Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. Garga Muni said, "My dear Nanda Maharaj, I am the priestly guide of the Yadu dynasty. This is known everywhere. Therefore, if I perform the purificatory process for your sons, Kams will consider them the sons of Devaki." So, seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can speak something on this subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. So, here in this 8th chapter, we are reading the first part of the chapter, we are reading about the name-giving ceremony of Krishna. As we were hearing in the previous verses, very wonderful classes, wherein Vasudev inspires Garga Muni to go to Nanda Maharaj's place in Mahavan and perform the name-giving ceremony. So as inspired by him, Garga Muni comes there and he is very well received by Nanda Maharaj. He washes his feet, sprinkles the water, greets him and requests Garga Muni, glorifies Garga Muni and requests him that to should perform the name-giving ceremony for my sons. So herein Garga Muni is saying that I am the priest of Yadu dynasty. If I do that, then definitely Kamsa will come to know, because Kamsa has spies all over the place. And anyways, he's looking for the son of Devaki. So it is very, very risky. So as we were hearing in the previous verses, wonderful actually qualities of Srila Garga Muni is coming forth in these wonderful verses. He is very well received. He has come with a mission, and as we were hearing, this is the greatest benediction or a greatest privilege he is going to get, or he is going to be known in the world as the one who gave the name to the Supreme Lord, who is without any name or who has unlimited names. So that credit or that glory awaits him. He has been sent for that purpose. And herein he is saying that if I do that, this is very, very risky. So two things which come forth in this purport. One, Prabhupada explains that that Nanda Maharaj was the Vaishya king, or he was taking care of the Vaishya community. So actually, Jiva Goswami explains that Gargamuni was the Acharya of the Yadu dynasty in the Kshatriya, and there were different priests for the Brahmana, for the Vaishya community. So Gargamuni's request was that you could do it from the Brahmana priests who are there in the Vaishya community. So as we know the background, because the one of the most powerful kings of the Yadu dynasty, Devamid, was there. He had two wives, one from the Kshatriya and another from the Vaishya. From the Kshatriya came Shurasen and then Vasudev, and from the Vaishya queen comes Parjanya, who was very, very exalted personality, and his fame was like more famous than Dhruva Maharaj. He was in fighting like the Bhishma Dev, and various glories are described. And then he had these five sons who were very, very exceptionally powerful, and especially Nanda Maharaj was very, very exceptionally powerful Vaishya. So therefore, Gargamuni is saying that you have the Vaishya priests who are taking care of Parjanya's family background, so you should, might as well take this, the Namkaram Samskar from them. So in this case, we see the wonderful quality of Gargamuni, that he is for the mission of the Lord, for the mission of Krishna, for the protection of Krishna herein. He is ready to give his own position, his own which glory which is awaiting him as being the known as the priest of, or the giver of the names to the Supreme Personality of God. That's the wonderful theme which this verse brings forth. And also in the previous verses we saw how Dwarkadishpur was mentioning the glory of Vasudev also. So these verses, very simple verses, but brings about wonderful Vaishnav qualities. Like here in Vasudev also, he was in the background. He was not in the forefront, nobody knew, because Krishna is Nanda Maharaj, he is in the center. But Vasudev is behind the scenes, is thinking of the welfare of Krishna. He is sending Gargamuni to perform the name-giving ceremony. He was interested that Krishna's purificatory processes are performed well, and the most qualified acharya should do that. Even though he was absolutely in the background, nobody knew that Gargamuni was being sent by Vasudev. So that is the mood of a Vaishnav, and that's what Gargamuni and Vasudev both in these wonderful verses are proclaiming or bringing forth. This wonderful point that a Vaishnav is interested in the mission of the Supreme Lord, in pleasing the Supreme Lord, and whatever is most essential for the mission of the spiritual master or Krishna, without taking personal consideration of one's own position, about one's own glory. So whatever is required for the mission, even they were even ready to forsake their own position, like Gargamuni here is doing that. So this wonderful point is very wonderfully depicted in one of the pastimes of Sri Ramayana, in the lives of two personalities, our Marich and Jatayu. So we'll just briefly describe this wonderful pastime, how the mentality of Marich and the mentality of Jatayu. So that is, we will discuss briefly, and then we'll see how that Jatayu wanted to serve Lord Ram, and Marich, he wanted to die in the hands of Lord Ram, but in dying, he did a disservice to Lord Ram. So even though he was thinking that I'll better die from the hands of Ram, but in dying, he did a disservice. So this episode comes in Sri Ramayana when Lord Ram and Lakshmanji and Sita Devi are in the forests, and after killing Karadushan and the 14,000 Rakshasas who were incited by Shurupanakha, Lord Ram and Sita Devi, and they are safe now. And one of the persons who escaped Lord Ram very valiantly killed 14,000 Rakshasas in just a matter of 1.5 hours. And then one of them who was saved was Akampan. He goes to his king Ravana, and he proclaims that, my dear Ravana, that all your army in Janasthan and including your two brothers, Kar and Dushan, have been killed. What are you doing here in this place? And so Ravan becomes very, very angry. And he says that, who is this who has killed, who has dared to kill my brothers, Kar and Dushan, who are like indefeatable, and how can someone kill them? And he said, Ravana is proclaiming, he's boasting that I have defeated Indra, I have defeated Brahma. How can somebody like kill my brothers? And then he asked Akampan, please reveal who is the one who has killed my brothers. So Akampan, he's very fearful. He said, my dear Ravana, I will tell you, will you please promise that you won't kill me for this news? So then Ravana is pacified, and then he says that there are two human beings, or of course one, Ram personally killed them alone, who is the son of Dashrath. He devastated whole of your army along with Kar and Dushan. And Ravana was completely shocked to hear that two mere human beings have killed. And he immediately decides that I will go and attack Ravana and Ram and kill him now. But Akampan, he pacifies Ravana that he is a very, very powerful human being. He is not an ordinary human being. He should be very, very careful and make a systematic plan to kill Lord Ram. So then Ravana thinks of a plan. He goes to Marich, who was his subservient or a minister, and then Marich in the forest receives him very well, washes his feet and greets him very well, and he asks, what brings you here, my dear Ravana? You could have called me. That means there should be something very, very serious happening. That's why you have called me here personally. So then Ravana discloses his plans that I have come here to kill Ram and kidnap Sita Devi. Of course, Marich, he had his past experience. He had learned from his past experience. He was shocked, and he says that Ram is very, very powerful, my dear Ravana. If you are like overcome by lust for Sita, you will destroy the whole Rakshasa dynasty, and the whole of Lanka will be destroyed. So, my dear Ravana, please immediately go back. Whoever has given you this advice is a great enemy in guise of your friend. So please immediately go back and enjoy with your queens, Mandodari and other thousands of queens which you have, and don't think about Sita. I have personally witnessed the prowess of Sri Ram. So hearing this, Ravana immediately goes back. He understood that something serious is there. Ravana is not an ordinary human being. But then, immediately after that, Surpanakha comes in, and she is crying and wailing and just loudly shouting, and she's chastising Ravana. What are you doing, Ravana, here? You're just enjoying sense gratification in your kingdom. Your brothers are being killed, your sister is being disfigured, and you're not doing anything. And she is like chastising and invoking Ravana, and then she describes the beauty of Sita Devi to Ravana, that she is most beautiful, large blackish eyes, thin waist, and very, very beautiful, and she just deserves to be with you, to be enjoyed with you. So Ravana, he was, again, his lust was incited, and then he comes back to Marich. So that is, we have to be very, very careful whom we keep our company with. So he had his ministers who were all demoniac mentality. So this is what is expected. We cannot trust a person who's has uncontrolled senses. So it's important the association we have and from whom we hear. Like we are careful with what we eat, what goes in our system, it's where it is cooked, how cleanly it is made. So somehow, similarly, we should be careful what goes in through our ears or what is coming from our ears. So Ravana had all his associates who were all demoniac, except Vibhishan was there, but Ravana would never listen to him. So then Ravana comes again to Marich. And Marich asks, what brings you so soon back again to me? So then Ravana says that I have decided to kidnap Sita. I want Sita for my enjoyment. Marich again tries to explain to her, to Ravana, that what you are going is lead to your devastation. He says, I'll tell you my experience of dealing with Ram. When I was like destroying the rishis and the sages in the Dandakaranya forest, I encountered Ram when he was with Vishwamitra Muni, and he shot an arrow, and I was shot into the ocean far, far away, and somehow I was saved. And then he says, then later on, again, when I came back, I took the form of an animal, and I was again disturbing the sacrifices of the rishis and the sages. And then I saw Lord Ram and Lakshman, and they were dressed in this sadhu dress. So I thought probably he will not be as fearful as before. So then he again decides to attack Lord Ram. So this was again he tried, and then Ramji kills the two of his friends who were there with him, and he was again like escaped. He somehow escaped from Lord Ram's arrow because he started running, and then he says, because Lord Ram never kills a person who is running from the battle. So that's why I could be saved. And still now, after that, I have given up my all these nefarious activities, and I have taken to asceticism and yogic practices in the forest, and still I am fearful of Lord Ram. Even in the trees, wherever I look, I see Lord Ram. Whenever even somebody says Ra, I'm like Ratha, Ratna, I hear the word Ra, I'm fearful. That's what fear has been instilled in my heart. That powerful is Lord Ram. So even in the dreams, Lord Ram is appearing at all times for me. So Ravana, please do not get into this trap of trying to kidnap Sita Devi. Of course, Marich was Ram conscious completely all the time, but unfortunately, unfavorably. But it's a wonderful state. He was always thinking about Ram, absorbed in pastimes of Ram, thinking even in the dream, he was experiencing Lord Ram's presence. That is even the benefit even of fighting with Lord Ram, even having enmity to the Ram and just being encountered with Ram. He was blessed with that Ram consciousness. So then Ravana becomes very, very angry that you should not advise me. Advice should be given and when asked for, and especially when I am determined, I have defeated Indra. What is this Ram? How can I not defeat him? So then Marich speaks beautiful words of wisdom. He says that flatterers are easy to come, but rare is the person who will speak unpleasant words that are meant for one's benefit. Marich is saying that unfortunately it is inevitably seen that one who is about to die is never willing to listen to any good advice. So that is very wonderful. We can learn from these words of Marich also, very, very wonderful, that it's easy to find people who will always glorify you, who will flatter you for what you're doing, for what you are giving to them. But rare is the person who will speak unpleasant words. So even if somebody speaks some unpleasant words, we should take it very, very seriously and try to analyze how these words can help me to advance in my Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we do not heed to the words or some unpleasant words spoken to us, it's the same as Ravana mentality. He didn't pay any heed to what Marich was saying, to what Vibhishan was saying. He was insistent, he was determined. That's what the lust do. It makes one blind. Person, when we are obsessed with desire to enjoy the sense objects, no instructions from the devotees, no instructions even from the spiritual masters come to help. One is obsessed. That is what Ravana was. He was obsessed to enjoy the beauty of Mother Sita. So finally, Ravana tells him that I don't want to listen to your any advice. You have two choices: to die from the hands of Lord, perhaps from my hands now, or you may die from the hands of Lord Ram. So you choose. What would you like to choose? So then Ravan gives his proposal that you become a golden deer, very, very beautiful deer, and just move around where Mother Sita is there and charm her with your beauty. And I'm sure when she sees that beautiful form of yours, she will be enchanted and she would request Lord Ram to go behind and catch that deer. So then, and then when you are far off, take Lord Ram very, very far. And when you are about to die, or when Ram is about to kill you and very, very far, call out the names of Lakshman and Sita. In this way, Lakshman will also come follow behind Lord Ram, and he would come over there. So Marich decides that better to die from the hands of Ram than to die from this cruel Ravana. This was his thought, but unfortunately, if we see in deciding to die from the hands of Lord Ram, thinking about his personal self, he is going to do a great disservice here for Lord Ram, assisting Ravana in kidnapping Mother Sita. So he became the cause, an instrument in that episode. just for the desire of being killed from the hands of Lord Ram. So what is important is the service to the Supreme Lord, not one's personal aspiration or personal position or personal fame or personal any agendas. So it is very, very, in one sense, in the life of a sadhaka, very, very subtle. It's very, very glorious to die from the hands of Lord Ram. Because anyone who dies from the hands of Lord Ram is also blessed and is attains the high destinations, definitely. But herein, he is doing great disservice by doing that. So of course, so Marich agrees to the plans of Ravana. He assumes a beautiful form, completely golden body, golden skin with silver spots, and the horns were, sapphires were there, and the beautiful tail like the rainbows, and the lotus-like mouth, pink mouth, the beautiful form he assumes and moves in where Mother Sita is plucking flowers for the service of Sri Ram. And when Sita Devi sees, she is charmed, enchanted, that what a beautiful deer this is. I should have this deer with me. It will be very nice if we can have this deer as pet here, and we can take him probably to Ayodhya also after our exile. She was so beautified, so charmed by this desire to have. And she expresses, of course, first Lakshmanji saw the deer, and Lakshmanji immediately he could recognize that this could probably be Marich, Sita. Lakshmanji told Sita Devi that this could be probably Marich who has assumed this form to do some mischief. So please be very, very careful. So this is, Lakshmanji represents the Guru Tattva. He's very, very sharp. He could see that there is some danger in this situation. But Sita Devi, herein, she is teaching through her example that when one is obsessed, like Ravana, she was obsessed to have that deer, to enjoy the beauty of that deer, to have that deer as her pet, that even though Lakshmanji or the Guru Tattva is speaking, she was unable to hear. She said, no, 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 whatever it is, I want. And Lord Ram, when he comes to know that Sita would like to have the deer, he wanted to fulfill her wife's desire. Of course, he told Lakshmanji that even if it is Marich, it would be nice, we can kill him. And then we can use the skin for making a mat to sit on, or we can take it to Ayodhya. So even if he's killed, there's no problem. So it, and the sages will get benefit even if we kill this Marich. So then Lord Ram is running behind this demon in the form of deer who is taking the Lord Ram far away. He appears and then suddenly disappears, then appears and then disappears. Lord Ram with his bow and arrow, he is running behind Marich all over the place. And then finally, Lord Ram is very, very tired. He's running, running, running after him in this beautiful Leela. He's very exhausted and then takes some rest. And then finally, Marich appears nearby again. And then Lord Ram finally decides it's too much, too difficult to catch him. Let me just kill him. So Lord Ram with his arrow shoots an arrow and kills Marich. So while dying, Marich assumes a huge demoniac form and he's crying out, "Oh Sita, oh Sita, oh Lakshman," as it was recommended by his master Ravana. So then there the conversation ensues between Sita Devi. When she heard the cries, "Oh Lakshman, oh Sita," so she gets really afraid and upset that Lord Ram is in danger. "So Lakshman, please go and help your brother Ram." So Lakshmanji says that, "No, no, no, my brother Ram has entrusted me in your security, and I'm sure my brother cannot be in any anxiety or any discomfort. No demon of this world can kill him. He is all-powerful Supreme Lord. I know for sure." But then, as we know, Sita Devi that time chastised Lakshmanji that you are also like Bharat who wanted to enjoy me, enjoy the kingdom. That's why you accompany here to me, because you wanted to enjoy my beauty, kill Ram and enjoy my beauty. So when Lakshmanji hears these words, he was like broken and he was shattered. He still tries to convince Sita Devi, but she is not convinced. And finally, Lakshmanji decides to go behind Lord Ram. He suspected some dangers, but he was forced by Sita Devi. So then, Lakshmanji runs behind, and then Ravana comes disguised as a saintly personality, and asks for some arms and tries to kidnap, assumes his demoniac form and kidnaps Mother Sita, because Sita Devi forced Lakshmanji to leave. And then there is a lot of conversation between Ravana and Sita Devi, and she's crying, and Ravana is pulling her with her hairs and trying to make her sit on his chariot, the golden chariot which he had brought. And they're fighting, and Ravana is proposing to Sita Devi, that a beautiful queen, you should enjoy. What are you doing in this forest with a mere human being, Ram, and he's not anyways going to survive. I will kill him. So you should come over and enjoy. But Sita Devi is very, very chaste, and he chastises and rebukes Ravana that you are like a jackal, and my dear Lord Ram is like a lion. You cannot steal the lioness from the lion. Lord Ram is like Garudji, and you are like an insignificant crow who can not even touch me. Lord Ram is like an ocean, and you are like a puddle. Lord Ram is like a sandalwood, and you are like the dust, which is insignificant. Lord Ram is like gold, and you are like an iron. You are like Lord Ram is like a swan, and you are no better than a vulture. So why are you trying to enjoy me? I am the property of my husband, Sri Ram. So in this way, the fight ensues, and finally, Ravana grabs her with her hairs and brings her to the chariot, and they are flying towards Lanka. And while they are flying, this fight is ensuing. Ravana is boasting about his prowess, that I have defeated Indra, and everyone in this whole universe is under my control, and the Surya, Vayu, Chandra, everyone is under my control. They work under my dictations. So Sita Devi is just tolerating and crying, and when they are flying, she sees on a tree Jatayu, the king of vultures, is sleeping. And she wakes up, Jatayu, please get up and help me. I am aware that you are too old to help me, but please inform my dear Ram and Lakshman that Ravana has kidnapped me. So when Jatayu gets up, he hears these words of Mother Sita. He with great enthusiasm decides to attack Lord Ravana. He decides to attack Ravana. He knew he will not be successful, but he could not see through this soft heart Sita Devi, her object of worship, of the worshipable object, being taken away by the demoniac Ravana. So Jatayu, with great valor, he starts to fight with his wings with Ravana. So Ravana was holding Sita Devi with her left hand, with his left hand, and he was fighting with bow and arrow, and a great fight ensued. Even though Jatayu was old, he was unarmed, he was very, very exhausted, but still he was with great enthusiasm, he was fighting Ravana. And to the extent that Jatayu, with his wings and with his feet, he broke Ravana's bow and the chariot and the mules which were driving them. So in that sense, he was overpowering, because of his enthusiasm, Ravana. And then even Ravana's armor was broken by the beaks of Jatayu. But finally, Ravana leaves off Sita, and with great anger, he takes up his sword and cuts off Jatayu's wings. This fight on and went on for almost an hour. That was the valor of Jatayu, the enthusiasm to serve. Krishna gives the strength when we have the enthusiasm. That is how this process in Krishna consciousness works, is we express our desire to serve, and then Krishna arranges for the facilities, for the strength, for the services to be done. So we should, if we have just that sincere desire to serve and please Krishna, then Krishna manifests opportunities and the strength to serve. So herein also, Jatayu, even though he was very weak, old, his desire to protect Mother Sita, he was having the enthusiasm that he fought with Ravana for an hour, which was like he had defeated Indra, Vayu, Chandra, such a powerful personality, and Jatayu, a mere bird, could at least make him fearful. And Ravana, at one stage, he lost his bow, quiver, his armor was lost, his chariot was destroyed. So in this way, this fight ensued, and finally Jatayu lay down on the floor in a blood streams. And Sita Devi ran personally towards Jatayu and embraced the body of Jatayu and said, "My dear Jatayu, thank you very much. You fought such valiantly for me." And finally, Ravana comes, catches Sita Devi with her hand and takes her on the chariot and goes towards Sita Devi in great tears for appreciation for the efforts for the fight by Jatayu. On the other side, Lakshmanji and Ramji, they were desperately looking for Mother Sita. Now Ramji chastised Lakshman, "Why did you do that? I told you, you know that I am indefeatable. How could you leave me just taking the words of Sita Devi?" So, but then Lakshmanji just remains quiet. That is the glory of Lakshmanji, misunderstood by Sita Devi, misunderstood by Ramji, still dedicatedly serving. So then Lord Ram and Lakshman began to search all over the place for Mother Sita. He's crying out, Lord Ram is crying, "Oh trees, oh birds, oh animals, please tell me where is Mother Sita, where is Mother Sita?" He's crying. And then he asks the deers, so none of them speak out of fear of Ravana, but Lakshmanji could see that the deers are pointing through their head towards the southern direction. So then Lakshmanji directs that we should go towards the southern direction. And therein, while they are moving, they see the scattered flowers which Lord Ram recognizes. These were the flowers which Sita Devi had with her. And then the mountain comes and Lord Ram is in great anger that I'll shatter the mountains. Please reveal. Please tell me where is Mother Sita? Where is Mother Sita? He's crying loudly. And for the fear of Ravana, nobody told. And then finally, where they are walking ahead, they saw Sita Devi's footprints and a Rakshasa's footprints of running. And they will move a little further. They saw the broken pieces of the chariot, the jewelry of Sita Devi. And Lord Ram is enraged seeing that. He thought that probably some Rakshasa had devoured Sita and there is blood and all these are there. And he's very, very angry and enraged and cries out loudly that all the demigods, what were you doing? Surya, Chandra, Indra, how could you allow my Sita Devi to be devoured by a Rakshasa? Why didn't you not protect? I will just destroy the whole universe at this very moment. And takes his bow and arrow and is ready to destroy the whole universe. That time Lakshmanji clasps the feet of Sri Ramji and tells him, "Pacify my lord, pacify. Just one Rakshasa might have killed. Let us look for that Rakshasa. Why you kill the whole universe?" So Lord Ram is pacified. And then they continue their further search and they saw the Jatayu, the vulture, he was lying down in a pool of blood. So Lord Ram thought that probably this Jatayu has killed Sita Devi and he is just resting here now in the pool of blood. So Lord Ram with his bow and arrow comes over there to attack Jatayu. And then Jatayu falls down at the feet and explains to Lord Ram that it is Ravana who had kidnapped Mother Sita. And I was trying to protect her from being taken by Ravana, but somehow I got hit like this. But Jatayu consoled Lord Ram that I know that Ravana kidnapped Sita Devi at the time of Vindha, that particular time of the day. When somebody loses at this time anything, it's surely to be obtained back very soon. So don't be remorse, don't feel remorse. I'm sure Sita Devi is going to come back soon and Ravana is going to be destroyed very, very soon. So in this way, Jatayu is then describing about Ravana and his lineage, and while describing, remembering the lotus feet of Sri Ram, chanting the names of Sri Ram, he leaves his body. At that time, Lord Ram feels great remorse and he tells Lakshman that I feel more saddened by the death of Jatayu, who gave up his life for my sake, than the kidnapping of my Sita. That was Lord Ram's mood. That anyone who renders any service for Lord, that is the nature of the Lord. He's grateful. Whatever inconveniences, the Lord can tolerate any inconveniences on his part. But when he sees that his devotees struggle to serve him, that gives him much more pleasure and satisfaction. And herein, when he sees that Jatayu, he is giving up his life to protect, to serve Sita Devi, to protect Sita Devi from being kidnapped, he said, I am more saddened by that than losing Sita Devi, than by the kidnapping of Sita Devi. That is Lord Ram's heart. So any devotee who renders whatever little service, taking some difficulties, some tribulations on this path of bhakti, Lord Ram is very, very pleased and very, very grateful. So then Lord Ram says to Lakshmandi, that let it be known that Jatayu will achieve the highest destination. So let us now personally perform the last rites of Jatayu. So then Lakshmanji personally prepared the funeral pyre for Jatayu. He collected the logs. And Lord Ram personally lifted Jatayu and placed it on the funeral pyre. And Lord Lakshman personally finally lit and placed the body there, and both of them made offerings for Jatayu. And then they went to Godavari and offer oblations, chanting Vedic mantras and offer oblations to the departed Jatayu. And he achieved the highest supreme destination. So that is what we see, the contrast between the consciousness of Jatayu and Marich. Marich was, even though killed by Lord Ram, but in killing by Ram, he did great disservice. And here in Jatayu, he was killed by Ravana in one sense, but achieved the highest destination. He was not thinking that I'll achieve. He could have easily justified. Sita Devi personally told her that there's no need for you to fight. I know you cannot defeat Ravana. He's indefeatable. You can just inform Lord Ram that Ravana took me there. He could have easily just said that, and he would have been still glorified that he assisted and he informed Lord Ram. But herein he achieves the highest destination because of taking the trouble to serve Lord Ram and Sita Devi. And Lord Ram was very, very grateful. That is Sri Ram's. So in this way, we see herein that Garga Muni is coming here. And when he reaches here also in Nanda Bhavan, Gokul Mahavan, he is himself experiencing great ecstasy. He is aware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was thinking that now I will be able to see the most beautiful form of my worshipable Lord, Sri Gopal, and I will be worshipping him. He was thinking, how will he react? He was thinking, if I touch my Supreme Lord's feet, all the people who are surrounding me, they will think that probably I have gone crazy. I'm touching the feet of a small child. He was thinking that if I want to embrace my beloved Lord to my chest, but then he was afraid that if I do that, the people will say that, oh, Garga Muni has probably become frivolous, and why is he acting like that? So he was in great ecstatic symptoms were emanating from him. He wanted to do that service of giving the name, but here he's saying that no, if it is coming on the way, or if it is putting Krishna in danger, I will withdraw my ecstasies and stop. Even if Nanda Maharaj at this stage would have agreed, probably Garga Muni would have to go out, probably even without seeing Krishna. So he took that risk. But of course, we know the story that Nanda Maharaj requests him and he gives the name-giving ceremony. That is the beauty of this whole process, is that when we desire to serve Krishna without keeping our personal ambitions, our personal agendas, then wonderful, wonderful reciprocations from the Supreme Lord comes. We just have to show our part of sacrificing our personal agendas, motivations, our desires for name, fame, position, which Garga Muni is gaining. And we know in the history knows that Garga Muni is the personality who got the greatest fortune of naming, the personality who has unlimited names. The name Krishna and Balaram, which we all chant, appeared from the lips of Srila Garga Muni. That was the fortune he was given for his wonderful qualities and dedication. And when he appeared as in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when the Lord Krishna appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he again got that fortune of naming the Supreme Lord, Nilambar Chakravarti, I think that's what. He appeared as Nilambar Chakravarti, Garga Muni appeared. And then also, in that wonderful episode when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as a little child of Sachidevi and Jagannath Mishra. There were great festivities all over the place. And everyone was like very happy that finally Jagannath Mishra and Sachidevi, they had many daughters which died prematurely, and then this most beautiful, wonderful son in the form of Gaur Sundar appeared. And everyone was very, very happy. And after a month, when the boy and the mothers were taken out for the Ganges, and then finally they decided to perform the horoscope reading ceremony for Nimai. And then later on they performed the name-giving ceremony. So in the horoscope reading also, and of course, when Nimai appeared, from the very beginning, he began to perform those leelas where he would begin to cry and everyone would try different ways to make him quiet. And when everyone would start clapping and chanting the names of Hari, he would stop crying. So that's why when the devotees understood, when the people understood that this is what will please Nimai or the little child, they would very frequently clap and introduce the Sankirtan. So in this way, Mahaprabhu, even before when he appeared, the lunar eclipse, everyone was chanting the names of Hari. From his beginning, he introduced the Sankirtan movement. And then when he was a small child, he would cry. So he knew that everyone would clap and do this. So he began to cry very frequently. He knew this is the way to induce people. So the Lord is ready to cry for us to make us chant. So he's crying from his childhood so that people can chant the names of Hari again and again. And then finally, when that wonderful ceremony of the horoscope reading, and then Nilambar Chakravarti very wonderfully explains about the great fortune and this Nimai or Sri Vishwambar is going to bring in the whole universe, and he's going to become the greatest leaders. Just recently, one of the devotees, he read about this horoscope of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he explained, and he called up his mother, who happened to be an astrologer. So he didn't tell that this is the chart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He just gave the signs, and these are the signs, and these are the positions of the different grahas. So when that mother on the phone, all this conversation is going on, she begins to describe that this is something extraordinary. This couldn't be the chart of an ordinary human being. So in one essence, she described the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita from Adhilila to Antalila in briefly, that this child is going to be famous all over the universe, and he'll be a great religionist. He'll be performing very mischievous in his childhood. He'll be a great scholar. He will be marrying two wives like that, and he'll be taking to renounced all. He will have a lot of wealth and opulence, but then he'll renounce. So in this way, that mother was explaining the chart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's going to be a very, very extraordinary chart. So then, of course, Nilambar Chakravarti also, he is a great astrologer, being Garga Acharya, personally Kama. He describes, and finally they decide to perform the name-giving ceremony for Sachidevi's and Jagannath Mishra's son. Actually, there was a great festival where all the Nadia Vasis had assembled. And so many times, actually, to see that beautiful child, the demigods would come there. And they would also, in one sense, have fun time. They would appear, and then the Nadiyavasis, they would see the shadows moving, and they'll say probably a thief is there, and they would cry out, thief, 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 Narsingadev, Narsingadev. But then the demigods would have fun. They would see these wonderful leelas and pastimes, and they would have fun. And then on the day of the name-giving ceremony, so all the ladies, those who were there, they said, no, this child will be called as Nimai, because many of the previous daughters of Jagannath Mishra and Sachidevi prematurely died. So for the protection of this child, we should name him Nimai. And of course, he was born under a neem tree. So neem, purifying, and for the protection, they name. And then all the other learned scholars and Nilambar Chakravarti, the great Acharya, he proclaimed that from his horoscope, the name which comes forth is Sri Vishwambar. So in this way, they proclaim these two names, Nimai and Sri Vishwambar, because even after his appearance, all the famines and droughts in all the neighboring villages and everywhere which was there, all the conditions became very, very wonderful and peaceful, and everything became so serene. And this child in the future will nourish the whole universe. Therefore, he should be named Sri Vishwambar. So everyone then finally agreed that he should be called as first name Sri Vishwambar, and then Nimai, and of course many other names came up. Gaur Hari, because he was like Hari with a golden complexion. So Gargacharya actually, while he was giving the name-giving ceremony, he himself predicted that one of the incarnations in Kali Yuga will come which will have a golden complexion. So in this way, whoever was blessed by Sri Vishwambar's glance was completely filled with great happiness. And whoever would take Nimai, the little child, on his lap, would not like to give him to any other. So that was the special childhood leelas which Nimai or Sri Vishwambar performed, and Gargacharya also took a great participation in these leelas. So that was the fortune of Sripad Gargacharya, for his wonderful qualities, ready to serve the mission of the Lord, not thinking about one's personal prestige, personal comforts, personal honors, and Krishna wonderfully reciprocates and rewards. That is what we are reading in this wonderful verse where Gargamuni is saying that you can perform this name-giving ceremony somewhere else probably. That is what this verse is saying. So I would like to thank all the devotees and beg forgiveness if I spoke something beyond my realizations. Jai Shri Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Hare Krishna.